uplifting music. We were treated to a lot today, and I need to announce that I plan on starting a series today. And you will think, oh no, not another series. I think you will like it. It's about the Lord's Prayer. And I want to start with the theme, and this is how it all began. This is how the Lord's Prayer was actually taught by the Lord himself as a response to a disciple's request, Lord, teach us to pray. And I would like to begin this journey of what I actually call the disciples' prayer, because the Lord gave the disciples this prayer. It was now the disciples' prayer, although it's called the Lord's Prayer. And in our sessions, we will be talking about the great emphasis Jesus put on prayer. He was the Son of God. He could command and everything would be there. He even said at the end to the apostles that he had the power to command 12 legions of angels to come and defend him in his trial, in his persecution. He had that power. Yet when you look at the life of Jesus, he prayed a lot. Why? As the Son of God, who other people prayed to, who other people received healing from, why did he feel the need and see the need to pray? It has always been fascinating to me why Jesus put so much emphasis on prayer. Now, I would like to ask you this morning to be very honest with yourself. You don't have to answer. You don't have to raise your hand or say anything. But think about this. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your life of prayer? And I have to ask myself these questions. How effective is our life of prayer? Is it going somewhere? Or is it dry? Is it redundant? Is it kind of forced? Kind of out of habit? On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, which I don't think anybody could claim here. But where would we stand? I hope that we would be at least a 5 or 6 or 7. I have another question. If God would answer all your prayers in the last week, would you be surprised and overwhelmed? I think we should, right? If God would give you everything right there and then when you pray, whoa, that would be overwhelming, right? There was a little boy. In fact, on a British television program years ago, they did research on their religious experiences among children. And one boy made it to the news. His parents had suffered a very serious accident, and he made this statement. The boy said, I wanted to pray, but I didn't know any prayers. Think about this. I wanted to pray, but I didn't know any prayers. Do we need to know prayers to pray? Alfred Tennyson stated, more things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. The question when we look at our text is, do we know how to pray as we should? Prayer is a spiritual discipline, and it can be strenuous, it can be frustrating at times. It can be mentally and physically demanding. If someone devotes a lot of time to prayer, they usually find that there's little time to eat. And fasting comes as a natural result of it. Because the whole focus is so intense on prayer and approaching the throne of God that people forget to eat. So when I see the disciples here, they were with Jesus. They were in his presence. They saw a lot of miracles happening. And at one point, they went out themselves and they did miracles. They prayed for people to be healed. They were healed. They even drove out demons. But at this certain place, and it doesn't say where Jesus was praying, one disciple had this idea, this bright idea. And I think it was more than an idea. I think he felt this deep need. Oh, Lord, help us. They heard and saw Jesus pray, and they said, oh, my goodness, we have so much to learn about prayer. Lord, teach us how to pray. He saw the contrast of the Lord's example of praying compared to their prayer life. And seeing this deficiency in their prayers, they asked for help. And I would like to emphasize this. Human weakness calls for Jesus to teach us how to pray. I don't think we can call ourselves masters of prayer. So I would like to propose that we all need to go on this journey and learn and ask Jesus to teach us. But are we teachable? That's the other question. Can Jesus teach us how to pray? Will we have that longing? Will we have that desire? Will we have the deep hunger for this need to pray? Some beneficial purposes of prayers are, when we pray, we receive the gift of God Himself. Prayer is first and foremost communion with God. So if we do something bad or if we are naughty, you know, then obviously we don't want to commune with God. This is why sin separates us from God. That happened to our first parents in the Garden of Eden. But God wants us to know Him. And I think this was one of the aspects that this disciple saw in Jesus. He probably saw in Jesus, their master, not only that he told them about his Father in heaven, he sensed that Jesus knew his Father in heaven intimately. And I think this feeling of knowing God so intimately stirred up this desire in the disciples, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to communicate with God. Prayer is not necessarily an attempt to force the hands of God, But first and foremost, it must include a submission to him. We come to God with great awe and respect. We come to God with great reverence for who he is. He is the Almighty God that has created the visible and invisible world. He is the one that lives from eternity to eternity. He is not bound to time. For him, 1,000 years is one day, and the one day like 1,000 years. It doesn't matter. Time is not an issue with him. His ways are so much higher than our ways. His thoughts are so much deeper than our thoughts. And in him dwells all the wisdom and all the knowledge and all the power and all the love and all the grace and everything you could think of. The other thing is that prayer, and I hope you will join me in this, that prayer is to be a life-changing experience. Let me rephrase that a little bit. Prayer is to be a life-transforming experience for us. For many people, the Lord's Prayer is simply a prayer to recite. They have memorized it well. And I would like to ask you, please, if you don't memorize or haven't memorized it yet, do memorize the Lord's Prayer. It's good. And do pray it at least once in a while. It is good. But it should never stop there. Because there is actually no magic in prayer. Especially in the mechanical reciting of empty and meaningless words that we actually just rattle off by memory. This is what Jesus discourages us from doing. He says, do not keep babbling like the pagans who think they will be heard because of their repetitive prayers or repetitive words. A lot of repetitive words doesn't necessarily help us to be effective in our prayer life. But as we truly pray, even the Lord's Prayer, with understanding from our hearts, it can change our life. It can really change our perspectives and connect us with the Lord. Now, the third point I want to make here is we need to pray and learn to pray even in spite of opposing feelings. Oftentimes we don't pray because we don't feel like it. When I was a young Christian, I had to really make it a discipline because, believe it or not, I am kind of an emotional person. Some may think, you are? Yeah, I am. But many times I didn't feel like praying. And many times we come into situations, we say, well, you know, I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to say. This is where we ask God, Lord, teach me how to pray here. Some people think of prayer as a parachute. You know how you're on an airplane and you have a parachute there, and just in case the plane goes down, you jump off. But as long as the plane is in the air, you're not going to use the parachute, right? No. The parachute is a life-saving instrument, but prayer is not like that. In prayer, we rely on God. Prayer is our steering wheel, not our spare tire. Let's remember that. Prayer is how we go about in life. We don't use it as a spare tire in the trunk somewhere hidden. Oh, yeah, now. Oh, I'm in trouble. I need it. C.S. Lewis once confessed, he said, "I don't know where I'd been if I'd gotten all that I asked for." Prayer may not change our situation. But the first thing that God wants to do when we pray is he wants to change us. And he wants to change our attitudes, our outlook. He wants to change our perspective. He wants to increase our knowledge of God. He wants to give us more insight and more light. And how better to do it than when we pray? Have you ever had God speak to you when you prayed? I've had it. And oftentimes I pray, "Lord, help me not to be so noisy in my prayer that I would overhear and not hear your Holy Spirit," because the Holy Spirit sometimes whispers to us and we need to be attentive to listen during the time that we pray. So if our request is wrong, God may say, "Nope, can't do that, won't do that, won't be good for you." We don't like that. If our timing is wrong, because I don't know about you, but I want many things. I wanted them yesterday, not even today. I wanted them yesterday. We can't wait. And God says, "Easy, easy." When we were in Italy, we were in Europe once, and we went to Italy, and we learned about slow food. And there's a book out there, it's called Slow Church. It's fascinating, these ideas people have. And slow food means that you start to eat, and you take, for your meal, you take 3 hours, and that's not for me. I don't like slow food. But we don't like slow prayer either. Sometimes God says, this slow down, this take it easy. Wait. Wait for the right time. Hold it and be faithful until the timing comes, and then I will release my blessing, and then I will do. He doesn't tell us that always, does he? Because if he did, it would be easy for us. Yeah, I know, I'm waiting. The Lord told me to wait because, after a while he will do this and this. We don't know that. This is where we need to learn to pray. Because learning to pray includes the waiting. And waiting is hard. Waiting is not easy. It requires to develop the fruit of the Spirit called patience. So when we pray, we get to go on a journey with God. And God wants to lead us to his will. The fourth thing I want to bring out here in the introduction is prayer must always be God-centered. You know, it's interesting that Jesus doesn't use high fluting and very big words. You know, he could have thought, this is my one chance to give a model prayer and I really want to do it right. No, he gave simple instructions as to how to pray. Meaningful concepts that we find in the Lord's Prayer. It's been said, when God is first, prayer makes sense. So the Lord's Prayer is God-centered. It starts with God and it ends with God. Our prayers need to be God-centered in the way that we tell God, Lord, I am coming to you. I have all these needs. I have all these questions, but I want to get out of the way, and I want you to glorify yourself. I want you to speak to me. I want you to lead and guide me. I want you to help me here, but I want you to be glorified first and foremost. The interesting thing here, too, is that Jesus doesn't discuss the posture in prayer. Many religious leaders, if you would ask them, teach us to pray, they would say, well, you know, first you go into the church, or you go into your closet or wherever, your special place, and you fold your hands either like this or like this, and then you kneel down, and you have to face east, and you have to do this and this and this, like many religions describe. Jesus has nothing of that. He says, when you pray, say this. It's not about kneeling, sitting, standing, laying face down, prostrate before the Lord. All of those positions are not wrong. They are very important sometimes for us to humble ourselves before the Lord, but Jesus doesn't dictate us to do that. He doesn't even dictate the place where to pray. He does not discuss the manner of prayer. But what he discusses here is prayer is very important. Prayer is fitting at any time, in any circumstance, in any situation. When we pray in church, it shouldn't be very long. When we pray in the closet, it shouldn't be short. It should be long in the closet and short in church. But there's no set time. Our forefathers, when they had church for 3 hours. And that was very common in Russia and other places too. I mean, people were really hungry for the word, and they were hungry to pray. And they poured out their hearts to God. Matthew Henry commented on prayer. Prayer is the key to the AM, to the morning, and the bolt to the PM, at night. And Paul instructs us, pray without ceasing. I know there's a lot of talk about distracted driving, but have you ever prayed during driving? I mean, nowadays it's kind of easy because people will think that you're talking on the phone, because I have my phone on Bluetooth, and when somebody calls, I can just press the button on the steering wheel and I can drive and talk. It's a great, great technology. But we can talk to God while we're driving. Our eyes are open, our eyes are on the road, but we talk to God. People think we're talking to some other person, but maybe you should have a sign, silent, I'm talking to God. So I don't know, but we can talk to God anytime, anywhere. Jesus gave us this example and says, pray like this. That doesn't mean that we have to use his words every time and only his words for prayer. That's not what he meant. But he gave us this model to go after. I want to read a few comments that John MacArthur wrote concerning the Lord's Prayer, and he puts it in a very practical way. He says this, I cannot say our, like our Father, if I'm living only for myself. I cannot say Father if I don't like if I don't try to act like his child. I cannot say who art in heaven if I'm laying up no treasure in heaven. I cannot say hallowed be thy name if I'm not striving for holiness? There's something to think about. I cannot say thy kingdom come if I'm not doing my part to help expand it. I cannot say thy will be done if I am disobedient to his word. I cannot say in earth as it is in heaven if I'm unwilling to serve him here and now. I cannot say, give us this day our daily bread if I'm not relying on him to provide. I cannot say, forgive us our debts if I harbor a grudge against someone. I cannot say, lead us not into temptation if I deliberately place myself in temptation's path. I cannot say, deliver us from evil if I haven't put on the whole armor of God. I cannot say, thine is the kingdom if I'm not loyal to the king as his faithful subject. I cannot attribute to him the power if I fear what people may say or do. I cannot ascribe to him the glory if I am seeking honor only for myself. I cannot say forever if my life is bounded completely by the things of this time, by material things. A Puritan minister, William Gurnell, observed this: when people do not care what God speaks to them in his word, God does a little mind what they say to him in prayer. That really struck me. If I don't care what the Bible tells me, then why should God care what I'm praying? Right? Does that work both ways? The question for all of us is this: what are we relying on? When it comes to prayer, we admit that we rely on God. But when we rely upon our education, we get what education offers and what education can do. When we rely upon skill, we get what skill can do. When we rely upon technology, we get what technology can do. When we rely about organization, we get what organization can do. But when we rely on prayer, we get what only God can do. And that's my desire. A long time ago, a Russian reformer, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, but yeah, you heard of him, yeah. He said this at Harvard University. He said, we have placed too much hope in politics and social reforms, only to find out that we were being deprived of our most precious possession, our spiritual life. Now here is this great reformer speaking in front of highly educated people, that we rely too much on social reforms, on politics, on all this, and in the meantime we're being deprived of our spiritual life. And so may God help us that we strive for one thing, and one thing only: that we learn how to pray. Now I have four more things. Briefly, give me 5 more minutes, okay? 5 more. How can we learn to pray? I want to cover this because next time I want to start with the Our Father who art in heaven. Okay? The first thing that teaches us to pray, and this is human nature, this is just the way it works sometimes, is that calamities, sufferings, teach us to pray. When we ask God to teach us how to pray, he may very well give us situations in life that will drive us to our knees. In Psalm 51, verse 1, be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 9, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, and famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. This has been with God's people all the time. When we are in affliction, when we experience calamities, that teaches us to pray. That teaches, drives us to the presence of God to put everything else on hold and say, no, I need God's help. I need His mercy. I need His compassion. Psalm 107, verse 28. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and He brings them out of their distresses. Cry out to the Lord in your trouble. Allow Him to bring you out of your distresses. The second way to learn is that Jesus wants to teach us how to pray through the Holy Spirit. We as New Testament believers cannot imagine praying without the assistance and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, verse 28, likewise the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You see, we cannot learn how to pray effectively without the Holy Spirit. So make sure that as you start this journey anew, as you ask the Lord to put your feet on higher ground spiritually, ask the Holy Spirit to teach you how to pray. And then the third one is we learn to pray by humbling ourselves before the Lord. How do we do that? The Bible talks about when we humble ourselves. We don't wait until the world or God Himself humbles us or other people's humiliate us. That makes us mad, right? But we humble ourselves and come before the Lord. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. So God is waiting a lot of times for God's people until they humble themselves before Him, and then He can start acting. Quite a bit to learn, right? Let's trust the Lord for this. I said there were four. There's actually only three that I had, but we receive the grace of forgiveness and reconciliation. We also receive God's favor and healing in our lives when we humble ourselves before Him. So the disciples really felt a strong need to learn how to pray. Jesus had just demonstrated real prayer before them, and they said, "This is what we want." Did you notice the disciples didn't ask Jesus, teach us how to preach? Teach us how to have good outlines and how to have good examples in our speeches and how to do a real nice talk that will be attractive, that will have everything in it, that people will be fascinated, that people will pay attention to our talk. No, they didn't ask that. Because I believe, this is what they believed. If we know how to pray like Jesus prayed, the rest will come. So I want to conclude with that. Let's take this journey together and explore the area of prayer in our life. By taking the Lord's Prayer in the next few weeks, study it, meditate on it, memorize it. Next Sunday, I have something really special in store for you. And I think you'll love it. So be here next Sunday. Invite a friend. And we will talk about our Father who art in heaven. It'll be great with God's help. Amen.